All right, Revelation chapter 15. We are doing Revelation in the evening. We're doing a lot of details in Revelation, but now I go almost chapter by chapter to cover the stories of Revelation. Now, Revelation 15 is a summary of God carrying on the final plan for the closing of this world that we live in. So I'm going to pray, and we go verse by verse. That's my favorite way to teach it, verse by verse, looking on it and see what God has to say. Father, thank you for allowing us to even look in the book of Revelation, where you reveal to us your plans. There are many things we do not understand, we confess to you, but there are many things we do. And the things we do, we rejoice and help us to understand it and believe it. Cause us to pay attention to your plans. In Jesus, we pray, amen. So the carrying out of God's final plan. We all know this world is going to end and a new world will take place. And God gave us no dates. He gave us no mathematical equation, but he gave us some of the things that really will take place, and we go over them. Then the final judgment is described in verse 1, if you look on it. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Number one, what we know is that it's a succession of events. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. So there's going to be a succession of events. Seven last plagues. That means one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. That's the way that God is going to execute it. And it is the final fall of the power of the devil, because at the end of Revelation 15 and verse 1 says, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, when Jesus came, what came? Came the love of God. All right? But now, ladies and gentlemen, for God to finish this world, he's going to outpour his wrath. And so we see the final power of the devil demolished, because nobody can support or stand before the wrath of God. Now, verse 2 is a description of the new face in the vision. The Bible said, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, he saw a sea of glass. The original doesn't say a sea of glass. The original said a pure, transparent surface. All right? And maybe if we go to put one hand in Revelation, and if you're familiar with the Bible, you can go to 1 Kings with me. To chapter 7, 1 Kings, and verse 23. 1 Kings, chapter 7, and verse 23. Here is what the Bible says. And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it around. That was the brazen level, remember? And so when the Bible says here in Revelation 15, and as it were a sea of glass, that was the brazen level in heaven. That was the brazen altar was right there in heaven. He said, I saw it. And it's pure, all right? And that's what it is. And then they say, In verse 2, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, remember we were talking about the beast's reaction until this point, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And in other words, here is a picture again of the believers from that tribulation period, that God is going to have them protected in that through the brazen level, which is the washing of God, they're going to be protected in heaven. And so there is no restriction to the protection of God, even in that moment of the execution of the ending of the world. Now, verse 3, the Old Testament and the New Testament churches are gathered together. Look at verse 3. And they seen the son of Moses, the servant of God, and the son of the Lamb. I want you to know that the word the son of the Lamb and the word the son of Moses are the same. Let's take a look to the son of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. It's good to read it. Remember, after the Red Sea, the son of Moses was the victory after the Red Sea. And that was a typical song that after this wall is gone, after this wall disappear and move on, we have the same song of the Old Testament people praising God. Let me read it for you. Exodus chapter 15. Then son Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Now, you know, that matched the event that the wall is coming to an end, a new wall is issued, and that God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. You remember who was the Egyptians, all right? I will correct this in case somebody is Egyptian. I was speaking in a conference where and find already there were Egyptians on it. It's talking about the unbelievers. All right? Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You see, in the King James, the word Lord is in capital letters, and that the policy of the authors of the translation of the King James is that when you see the word Lord in capital letters, means Jehovah, all right? So Jehovah is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are thrown in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Now, this is a very important song because some new theologians figure out that Moses really did not cross the Red Sea. He went on the top. Now, if you believe that, then all of these things are baloney. So you cannot believe the new theologians who suppose to this and suppose the other. If Moses really did not cross the Red Sea, all the events, these events, become nothing. See, so it's very important. Number 5, the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Now, who were the people who sunk? The people who want to cause tribulation to Israel. They make an agreement, just like the devil. They make an agreement, and they turn around after the agreement was made, that Moses left, and now they're after them, all right? And so that's what is going to happen to the end of this world. Remember, we've been studying the devil tried to make an agreement with the church, and the false church will make an agreement with the devil, but God will sunk all of them out. Verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as a stubble. Verse 8, and with the blast of thy nostrils, and the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. Remember chapter 13, 14 of Revelation. I will draw my sword, of my hand shall destroy them. Verse 10, thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sunk as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee? This is my favorite verse of the Old Testament. Revelation 4:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? What a great text to preach, all right? Beautiful. All right? Verse 12, thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led for the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thy arm, they shall be as a steel a stone till my people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of thy inheritance, in the place of the Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord, which is in the hand that have been established. And heaven had that vocabulary for the new earth. Verse 18 said, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. And that is, again, a sign of the heavenly activity. So we go back to Revelation 15, and if you never have read the Song of Moses, it's impressive, and it's all projecting of what happened to Israel and projecting what happened to us in heaven. Now, you know this, there is no date and there is no information about mathematics in this. It's only information about the holiness of God and the greatness of God and the power of God. It's no fooling around with details, all right? Now, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, the manifest act of God's justice are seen. Look at here. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou art what? Thou art holy. Now, there are two words in the original language for holy. One is agios, which is the representation of holiness. In the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope is the holy eminence, and he used different hats. One of the hats is very special. To be sure of this, I called the priest here in town, and I said, I have a question about the hat of the Pope, and I cannot find any information. Can you tell me? He said, oh, yeah. I said, when he dresses in white and he has the hat with gold, he is holy. Now, so he's agios, okay? He's holy, a representation of holiness. But the word here used is osios, which means God act in holiness. Agios is a word, they give you a picture. Oh, you see an image in a picture. It's, oh, that's his holiness. But that means it's a picture. But when you use the word osios, is you act holy in perfection to God. And that's the word used here in verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art acting all the time in perfection and in holiness. There is no one time in the life of God that he acts, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's the word. Yes. That's the clever thing to know the words there. And that word osios is no use ever for any secular people except for God. It's just amazing, all right? And that will take time, but this is exactly what God tried to represent to us. In verse 5, the tabernacle had its counterpart in heaven. Look at verse 5. And after I look, and behold, look at the temple. The word temple is the word tent. The tent of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Wow. What do you mean, God, by this? Well, I'm only going to use, use Hebrews, all right? The book of Hebrews will tell you everything about it. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to add a little information after this, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, you find it. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty, of the throne of the majesty in heavens. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary, somebody who served the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now that is, see, the true tabernacle means the place in heaven. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity, See, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things. Now, here's the explanation of what the tabernacle is. Who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. The word admonished, maybe today have a connotation. You did something wrong, I admonish you. In the time the English was written, admonish is instructed you. I'm going to instruct you. Admonish is a strong word for instruction in the English language in the 1500s, saying, when I teach you this, that's it, no other option. And so the word admonish was correctly used according to the Oxford Dictionary. For see, said he, thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee. Now, if you go to chapter 9, it's very interesting. The explanation is much better. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. See, there was a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the tables and the showbread and the whole description coming of the tabernacle until you get to verse 9, which explains you what for. Which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining for the conscience. In other words, that tabernacle was not a perfection, but was a picture of the one to come. And now look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to the serving the living God. And so the Bible is teaching here in Revelation chapter 15 and in verse 5 that the tabernacle of the testimony, which I give you in the notes, the background in the book of Exodus, was just a picture to show you the holiness of God and the greatness of God and the place of God. And that was only a picture of what's coming into heaven. And so what people have done, they have religious manifestations, and the pastors or the priests, they try to dress like the book of Exodus to show the holiness of God. And that's not the teaching of the scripture. The teaching of the scripture is that the holiness of God is in the heart. It's in the heart. All right. Now we go to Revelation 15, verse 5, how the angels will prepare for their work. Look at the array in verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. So look at having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. Now here they are arrayed. They were arrayed with the habits of the high priest when they went to inquire of God and came out with an answer from him. You know, when the high priest, once a year in the Old Testament, is going to come and ask God his will and offer the blood for the sin of the people, they were clothed in pure white linen. And in heaven, the angels, God is so holy, that even the angels that are around him cannot just go and say, hey, God, how are you? Like we do here, we pray, oh, Lord, look at what happened to me. You know, it's like a God is just a little thing. The angels were arranged in such a way that they were placed themselves in such a way that the angels came in and they were dressed and pure. In other words, God only accepts holiness. Remember what Psalm 66, 18 said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not answer your prayers. And for husbands, in 1 Peter 3, 7, if you contradict your wife and you make misery of your wife, I will not answer your prayers. It's scary, you know? It's scary. So I said, darling, peaceful. Live peaceful with the people. All right? So in verse 6 then, describe this. they were acting under divine direction, see, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Now that is the priest in action. One was the holy priest requesting God for an answer. Here's the blood. What do you say? And now when God answered, they came out now with war. They came out girded with the girdles of golden girdles, means victory. Each one of the stones demonstrate the victory of God. Remember, there were 12 stones, each one bright and for victorious. They were not saying, well, let's try, let's see God's will. Now they go out and say, we're going to do God's will and we're going to conquer. We pray many times, God be thy will. But listen, if you got the will of God, you're going to conquer. The will of God is no doubt. For example, poor Salvador, he needs a job, and my granddaughter needs a job, and many people need a job. Don't worry, God's going to give you one. Because he said, remember 1 Thessalonians 4, if you don't work, you don't eat. So the only thing I have to do is say, God, I want to fulfill your will. I need to eat, so I need a job. And God's going to do it. Now you say, oh, how simple, Pastor. You're a simple man. Well, I better be simple when I'm talking to God. I better believe what he says. See, so this is what it is. Verse 6, how wonderful. The angels are prepared for their work. And the preparation is not given a super guns and so on. It's given God's holiness. First is the holiness of God, and now the power of God. Verse 7, what is the artillery? What kind of machine guns that they got to do this? Look at verse 7. And one of, my Bible said, four beasts, and should be four living creatures, that's another good translation, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the, what? Of a special 9 millimeters, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever. You know, people are not afraid of the wrath of God because they don't see it. Now, Daniel and I went to the store, Port Authority. We went in Gilroy. I lost the key holder with everything, and the thing I really most miss is this tiny little knife that has screwdrivers and has all kind of things, because I walk around the church, and if I see it now, then it's loose, then I take my screwdriver and I put it on. Brother DeWiller told me that. Pastor, each time you walk, you have to fix something. You know, Brother DeWiller is a picket. He comes here on Monday and see if the children touch the walls and so on, and he goes over there. The church has to be in perfection, he said. That was his gift. And so I lost this, and I cannot find it. And so we went to Spore Authority there, and boy, we found it. You know, I found another one, and then it was this. Now, we went to, this was placed on, was a gun, no? Guns, big shooting things over there, and so on, and for hunting. And one guy was buying a gun, I guess, and the man was very kind. I don't have to wait. He said, what do you look for? And show us where it was. Well, look at it. But I look into those big machines. I mean, big, big hunting. All right? I say, God's going to do a revolution. He maybe get the best weapons, you know? But no, look at what God get. He said, the seven angels, seven golden vials full with a super bullet. What is it? The wrath of God. I wrote in my paper, not the love of God, but the wrath of God was poured out. Now, I don't want even to think about it, to be under the wrath of God. Now, we know that in Christ came the love of God. We are saved, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. See, that was the outpouring of God's love. Jesus on the cross, oh, if you are God, remember? If you are God, Luke 23. Oh, if you are God, come down from there. They were laughing about Jesus. And what Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing. Acts chapter 2, Stephen is dying. Acts chapter 7, Stephen is dying. And as Stephen died, they stoned him. And what did he say? He looked to heaven. He said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. That's the love of God. But when God said, that's it, there is no more. Oh, I'm sorry. No, there is no sorry. There is no say, God, I'm sorry. I believe in you. There is no more opportunities. What God is telling us is that he's going to draw the line. And here's the line. And I don't know when that line is going to be drawn, but here's the line. There is no more chance that you can claim the mercy of God and the grace of God. I don't want to be here. It's a terrible situation. Verse 8, God's acting fulfillment of his plan. Look at this. God's presence was required. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God. Remember when the tabernacle was there and Moses had to talk to him? How did he know God was over there? Was a cloud around it, you know, in the smoke. And God said, oh, come on here, talk to you. Come on here. Stay at the door, he said. It must be very spectacular. Standing there, seeing nobody, and seeing that dark cloud over there, and scary to death. And God knew Moses. He was acting in love, so there was no problem. But when the presence of God comes here, like in Exodus chapter 16, when the presence of God comes here, it's serious. It's not for let's talk like Isaiah said this morning, let us come and reason together. There is no more let us come and reason together. All right? Verse 8, God's power was required. And from his power, God's power is required. Remember Romans 1:16? It said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Now, somebody asked me in the service today, what do you mean when God turned the switch after the service? I mean, you as an unbeliever cannot believe in God. But when God said now, you say, oh, I understand everything. The power of God. The power of God. See? And is required. And God's plan is executed. Look at here. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. God's plan is going to be executed all the way through to the very end. It's not, it's okay, let's see if repentance. Repentance is no more the business of God. Conversion is no more the business of God. When the end comes, it's right on and finish. How that finish? Okay, chapter 20. I get ahead a little bit. But chapter 20, verse 12, I read this to the Spanish people there in McDonald's, and they don't want to eat anymore after I read this. It's scary. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the end. That's the way it is. It's not that God, another man is going to raise, another opposition is going to come. It's gone. And then that happened. What happened to us? Chapter 21. Never read one chapter and stop there. Just keep on reading. All right? And now look at chapter 21. And I saw, after the judgment of God to the unbelievers, and I saw the new heaven, not a patch heaven, not a fixed earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, okay? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more the level. The sea is called the brazen level. There was no more the brazen level. We don't need to be clean again. Whew. Look at here. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's called the body of God, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, look at the word again, the tabernacle of God. Again, see, the fulfillment of Exodus is right here in Revelation. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Before it was in a cloud or was in a fire, remember, to protect them. But now it's going to dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall be there be any more pain, for the former things pass away. Kind of Alzheimer's memory, and now we are fresh. we see God. I'm writing a lot of questions. For when I see God, I said, what is Peter and what is Paul? I have some questions on the Greek. I will not need that, because the Bible said that I will really be like God. Look at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for those things are true and faithful. Look at chapter 22. It's so exciting. When I read this, I keep on reading and reading. I hope you are with me. Look, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water. Verse 1, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. That's Jesus again, Genesis chapter 2, which bare 12 manners of fruit and yield the fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse by the throne of God and on the Lamb. Remember in chapter 2, verse 17, God said, if you disobey, I curse you. Chapter 3, God cursed mankind. And then he was damaged forever. We talked this morning about this. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. You know, and this world, if God will come in, I cannot see his face because I'm unholy. But over there, I will see his face. And verse 5, there shall be no night there. No more moon and sun system. No night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. It's like Alaska. For the Lord God give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It should be like Alaska or Tierra del Fuego down south. There is no night. We met people in Puerto Vallarta from Alaska, and I said, how do you sleep? Well, you cover your eyes. So the sun goes down at 12 or 1, and at 1:20 it's up again. And you cover your eyes, and that's very normal. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the place we're going to be? These are God's plan. Somebody sharing this with the people, because the Jehovah Witness come to McDonald's, so I had to inform them how the world will end, because Jehovah Witness have another story. So somebody said, you know what all of this is? And these are Americans from another table. They say, all of these show you that you're an old man, and now you're afraid to die, and you're looking to all of this. Well, I said, sir, what are you looking? You look old to me, too. What are you looking? You know, and so I don't think of those things. Well, what better think? Because you get out here, you go into your car, you go backwards, and somebody scratches you, you die. Where are you going to be? So I don't want to think on it. That's humanity. They don't want to think of what happened to them. I'm glad that God guides me to think. My future is beautiful. Your future is glorious. That regardless of at what age you die, your future is glorious. I remember preaching this in Illinois in a funeral, and people were taking notes and saying, hallelujah, in a funeral. See, sometimes we lost track of our blessing. Our blessing is not this building. We are dealing and buying this and buying the others. I just take it easy. Because you are the building. I'm the building. That's what I'm cared for. May God bless us and give us strength and hope. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful section of the Bible that give us hope. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. So any question before I go home? Yes, sir. Well, he's talking about in the future. That's a good question. In the future, we have the Father and the Son, and they both are the same. How are we going to distinguish? Well, the same way we distinguish today. When we need the sovereign power of God, we deal with God. When we need the mercy of God, we deal with the Son. The Son was the one who executed things. And so I can, my little finite mind cannot understand how. Not only that, I'm going to add the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, how am I going to see that? I cannot understand it, Salvador. But I know one thing, they're going to act in the same way they act today. See? But I will not need any longer the Holy Spirit in my heart, because I'm in heaven and I'm just like God. 1 John 3 said we will be just like him. So how do we see the Son and how do we see the Father? I don't know. All right.
That's a good question. That means you're thinking. That's good. All right. All right. God bless you. Give you a good week. And rejoice in the Lord. All right? And may God give you the joy of the Lord.